This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Randall, I got a notice in the forums about somebody posting that our guest last week, John Potash, made a mistake about which TV show John Lennon guest hosted. And therefore, everything he said should be ignored.
Okay. So
you see, it was either Mike Douglas or Merv Griffin, but those of us who look at this 30, 40 years later say, what was the difference?
I guess. I didn't even know that John Lennon actually hosted a talk show. You know, I did know that he had a UFO sighting, you know, over the East River, and that's very well documented. You can even see him talking about it on video. So, you know, why should we dismiss that simply because maybe Potash got the name of the show wrong or something like that?
As I said, over time they blur together. These were miscellaneous talk shows, kind of homogenized versions of what used to be The Tonight Show, but during the daytime. And, you know, I know the difference between Mike Douglas and Merv Griffin. As a practical matter, it didn't matter that much. They were basically the same sort of shows.
Right. Well, that's fine. I mean, I thought Potash was an interesting guest and a little bit of a twist from our regular fare. I guess, you know, as we'll be getting into with our guests today, there's a lot that goes along with ufology and that gets into conspiracy theories and everything else. So, you know, having a conspiracy theory guy like John Potash on was actually kind of interesting, especially with the music, because a lot of people, it seems, who are into UFOs are also into music. And you know who, one of the people we didn't mention who died mysteriously from drugs back then was Janis Joplin.
Yes, we did. I remember her name being mentioned.
I don't remember him mentioning her. Okay, well, there goes my credibility, I guess.
Okay, yeah. But, yeah, she was one of those who died at the age of 27. There was something about being 27 years old. Jim Morrison, Kurt Cobain, right. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Amy Winehouse.
Right. We might have mentioned her in that context, but not in the sort of the whole, well, the CIA was out to get her as well, you know? I don't know, but it was just one that, I was watching some YouTube videos the other day with female rock performers in history, and it was like Janis. Oh, yeah. We talked a lot about Lennon and Jimi Hendrix and that, but, you know, maybe she didn't still only came up as a brief mention. But I liked the interview anyway, and it seemed to go by really fast. So that was good, too.
We also had him come back for a half hour or so on After the Paracast. And for those of you wondering what After the Paracast is, it is a show that can be a wrap-up show, a continuation of the interview, but it's only part of the Paracast Plus. You have to join to download that show at plus.theparacast.com. In any case, the basic conspiracy theory here, of course, is that because some of these rock stars were activists, they had to be shut up. And certainly one key example would be John Lennon. And the book that John Potash wrote was Drugs and Weapons Against Us, The CIA War on Musicians and Activists.
Yeah, it didn't even have anything to do with UFOs, actually. He was like, well, I don't know about UFOs. Yeah, not much about them. That seems like, you know, whenever you get talking about UFOs, somebody thinks you're wearing a tinfoil hat. And so that brings us to today's guest, Gene.
Exactly. He doesn't wear a tinfoil hat, I don't think. Rich Hoffman does not wear a tinfoil hat, do you? Rich?
Yeah, I've got my own tinfoil hat.
Really? What's it shaped like? Because I've got one, too.
Yeah. I'll occasionally put it on when I'm on some sort of like, you know, Skype or something like that. I'll just throw it on and say, I think that we're getting into the tinfoil hat kind of like vernacular here. So anyway, it's just like a, almost like more like a Robin Hood hat, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mine's like a pyramid. So oh. I sharpen my brain when I put it on, as well as block out the evil mind melting rays that are coming in from all around us.
Ah, good. Well, that'll work. That will definitely, I'm sure, work. It's kept bad things away from me for a long time. So.
The kids loved it at Halloween. I, you know, put some big sunglasses on and a black suit and this big pyramid-shaped tinfoil hat, and they were just, wow! So it was a lot of fun.
That's good.
Well, there was actually a character who wore something that would be akin to a tinfoil hat, name of Andy Sinatra, the Mystic Barber, back in the 50s and 60s. And he wore this thing that I guess protected him from nasty radiation from E.T. He also cut your hair, if you want him to. He worked out of a barber shop in the East New York section of Brooklyn, New York. I visited it. I did not take him up on the offer to get a haircut. You know, he also claimed, by the way, to be a, shall we say, a distant relative of that other Sinatra.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, you know, like 14th cousin or something. Really, really far off. But the key being here is I'm sure that Frank Sinatra would not even want to admit knowing him. Now, when Rich was talking with us before the show, I remarked how, you know, he's been around UFO field for, what, 52 years now. And 50. It seems almost like yesterday. And I was thinking here about people we've had for a long time. Like our first guests were veterans in paranormal and UFO research, Jim Moseley and Brad Steiger, both of whom are not here. We do hope that Richard Hoffman, however, is going to be around for at least another 20, 30 years. Is that fair?
I sure hope I am. Yeah, I'm definitely on the attempting to try to get there. I do a lot of exercise and eat well and all that other stuff, so hopefully I will.
Well, I'm sure we can bet that you're going to at least last through this show. Seriously. Someone like you and I, we've been following this for so many years. What got you interested in UFOs?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story. I was late for a science class, and I had a teacher that had passed around an assignment. The assignment was you're supposed to pick a topic that was on a list and then give a presentation on it and do some homework, basically. And so I was late for the class because I was in a band class and I had to put my instrument away. And the only thing that I found left on the list was the word, basically UFO. And I didn't know what that was. And so I recall going up to my teacher after class and said something about, can you give me a hint? What is UFO? And he said, well, you've heard of flying saucers. You've heard of, you know, unidentified flying objects, maybe. I said, well, I didn't hear about, you know, UFOs before, but I have heard of flying saucers. And he said, well, go and do the go do your research and you could probably find something on it. And so I half-heartedly did that. I think I read a couple books, you know, like the books on the you know, something similar to like My Saturnian Lover or My Trip to Venus or something of that nature. And so, you know, I didn't treat it very seriously and it resulted in me getting up and making a big fool of myself in front of a very well astute teacher who asked me a lot of questions. I didn't really answer them well. And so I got my D that day.
That's not fair.
I got my G and I recall going home, you know, whether it was that day or the day after or something like that, that on the news they had, Walter Cronkite came on and was talking about a case called the Lonnie Zamora or the Lonnie Zamora case in Socorro, New Mexico. I think when I heard that case, I became like, well, wait a minute, there's something more to it than just the things that I read.
You know what? Let's do our break here, and then we can get into the early origins, how Rich Hoffman, after getting that D, and going out and buying a tinfoil hat. No, he didn't do that. He got that D, and he had to deal with it, as we all do when we have problems at school. Rich Hoffman, J. Randall Murphy, Gene Steinberg, you're in
the Paracast.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Gold is a better way. Imagine doing business with a company that seeks to add massive value before asking for your business. My name's Adam Baratta. I'm the co-owner of Advantage Gold and the author of the national best-selling book, Gold is a Better Way. The book may not be for you, but the tens of thousands who've read it have been blown away to learn why gold is set to soar to over $10,000. We're so confident this book will change the way you think about investing, we've purchased 1,000 copies from the publisher and are giving them to serious investors. If you have an IRA or 401k with over $100,000, we'd like to send you your copy. Just text the word bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776. You can buy it on Amazon, go to Barnes & Noble, or text bestseller and get it for free. Text bestseller to 49776. That's bestseller to 49776. We promise to add massive value before ever asking for your business. Gold is a better way. Text bestseller to 49776.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Are you a stock or options trader looking for real trading strategies that you can use immediately? Hi, my name is Scott Bauer, CEO of Prosper Trading Academy, and I'm on a mission to become the number one options coach in America. I'm a former vice president at Goldman Sachs. I have over 25 years of options trading experience, and right now, I'm giving away my most famous options guide with over 20 unique options strategies that I use every day for free. You can't buy this guide anywhere. To claim your free options trading guide, simply call 855-844-9702 now and mention my name, Scott Bauer, and we will rush you the guide. Call 855-844-9702 and someone from my options team will help you get this guide in your inbox as quickly as possible. Call 855-844-9702 now and start learning to trade the right way. Simply call 855-844-9702. Prosper with options.
Stocks and options trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We're talking about Rich Hoffman's introduction to the UFO field. Go on, please.
So, bottom line was I found out about this case, this Lonnie Zamora case, and I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, which is where Project Blue Book was. And about, I think the next couple days or after that, my aunt took me to a bookstore, and I just half-heartedly went over to ask the person. I said, "Do you have any books on UFOs?" And they led me to an area where there was a book called The Report on Unidentified Flying Objects by Captain Edward Ruppelt, former head of Project Blue Book. And I'm thinking like, oh, that looks really good. Bottom line is I read that and went through it front to back in just short order. I was so intrigued now. And I found out that there was this project that was up the road. Well, my God, that was, to me at 13, it was just, wow. I had no idea that it was that serious. The Air Force was investigating them and the project was so close by. Well, that led me into a whole area of interest that I just had no idea about. And I became a voracious reader of everything UFO. I became every book I had to get, every book I had to get, every news clipping. And you had to do all that wonderful stuff. I was doing that on my own and I didn't really know of other groups even. And I eventually learned that there was a thing called NICAP, and I learned that there was an organization called AFRO, and it was a discovery thing. And then I was giving lectures around the city of Dayton to astronomy clubs and to various others, even at age 15. And then what happened was Phil Donahue heard about it, or somebody alerted him to it, and then they had me come in and do actually a show on what I learned and that type thing. And so the next thing I know is that kind of propelled me into the Dayton community, if you would, as being the UFO guy, I guess. And suddenly every case that I had, I was starting to investigating cases. The police departments would have my number that they would get a hold of me. I passed them out to the police departments, and I became the guy that was out there. In fact, I had many instances where I had the department actually come and pick me up with the lights blaring on, and the sounds on the vehicles, and we would race out to the site, and I'd get out there, and 30 people are pointing up in the sky, and it turned out they were pointing to the planet Venus. But nevertheless, I'd be chasing
UFOs.
That's
pretty cool, though. Did I hear this right? The police, a cruiser, would actually pick you up and rush you out to the location of a sighting report.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Well, it was an amazing time. I mean, there was a lot of interest in it, and especially in Dayton. I mean, in 1978, when I had the MUFON symposium, we had 3,500 plus people that came. So, I mean, it was huge interest in Dayton, especially with Project Blue Book. And I would bump into Hynek, and he would be presenting in town and at the Dayton Engineers Club, and I'd go to that session, and I would hear that, and I'd hear other presentations. Then I would be out investigating cases, and I would bump into a Blue Book officer who's doing the same case. And so we started comparing notes and sharing information. And, eventually it led into me getting up to the base and actually going to the area, the Project Blue Book area, and getting to know, Hector Quintanilla. Eventually from there, it just blossomed further. Of course, I was working with Len Stringfield, and he was in Cincinnati, and the two of us were comparing notes. I would do shows with people from the base. We connected a lot with scientists that were out there.
They were really taking it seriously then at the time. I mean, today, if if I called the police to say, hey, can we got a UFO sighting? Can someone come and pick me up and take me out there? I think they would just laugh it off or call, say it's a misuse of the 911 service. But this sounds completely different than that. So what's happened to ufology in the meantime? Like, where did all that credibility go?
For me, it's a situation where if I were to sit back and I'm just trying to give you my life in terms of this whole thing, I think when Project Blue Book closed, the level of credibility was lost. And then, because now you have it, the government's not even interested in it. Of course, the Advanced Sciences Group had done their report on it. And so basically there was this shift in the culture over to the point where it was like, there's nothing to it. and we can let it go. And then you have to think about it in the context of you're going through your grocery checkout, and right there on the counter is the tabloids. And so the tabloids were helping to dispel it and make it into a joke. And some have indicated that that was owned by CIA-backed individual and that they were helping to spread propaganda. But so
it all shifted
over to being like something that lost its credibility. And over a period of time, then you've just had that loss. And it's sad for me because I've gone through so many of those cultural shifts that you don't have that same kind of thing anymore at all. In fact, you go up, like you said, you go up to a policeman now and say, I need to go out. Well, get on your own and good luck, and don't let the doors hit you on the way out. So,
about what time did you really sort of notice this big shift? I guess after Blue Book closed, the Robertson panel report in 1974.
Robertson was back in 1951, I believe, or 52 or something.
Right.
It was probably in the early 50s. So.
Yeah, but it wasn't released to the public until 74.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about when somebody releases a document. My point to you was that there was a shift that was happening that was probably CIA-backed in order to make this thing what it was. I mean, the Robertson panel report to the general public in Dayton, Ohio, and to the police officer had no, I mean, it's a clear situation where, you know, it was basically, you know, UFOs became the joking matter, and it's, you know, continued on. And now we've fragmented into so many different pieces and things like that, that they're more cultish in nature. And it's, you know, and I get people all the time that I bump into now that basically look at that and say, I mean, the first thing they ask is, do you wear a tin hat? I mean, I do, you know, that you bring up the subject of UFOs and that's the immediate reaction. And then we've also got people here that, at least where I'm at in Alabama, that, you know, I'm in the Bible Belt. And so, you know, I mean, these are demons or something like that. They're not,
right.
They're not anything else. They're demons. And you know,
transports from hell.
Yeah. So you have to be, and then I'm also working at with the military. I'm over here working at the Army Materiel Command, the corollary to the Air Force Materiel Command that basically had Project Blue Book in Dayton. Right. And I'm working at the headquarters for it, and you know, and yeah. So I mean, the attitudes there are, you know, it's like my whole cube is decorated in UFOs. I mean, basically material and stuff like that.
So they look upon you as either an eccentric. Or maybe you are one of the men in black, and we don't know it. You're one of the galaxy protectors. I'm kidding. You know, they once said that about a former co-host. He might be a government agent, and he nearly quit the show. We've got Rich Hoffman, who's not going to leave, because he's a great guy, and he's got a lot of stories to tell. With Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump has threatened to close down the border with Mexico unless the country prevents migrants from entering the U.S. The statement from Customs and Border Protection reads as follows.
U.S. Border Patrol has been transparent for several months by conveying the message both publicly, internationally, and to Congress that the immigration system is broken and that they are at critical capacity levels across the southern border. Customs and Border Patrol facilities and manpower cannot support this dramatic increase in apprehensions of family units and unaccompanied children. There is no consequence that the Border Patrol can apply to this demographic under current law and court rulings.
They say they hope to send up to 300 people a day back over the Mexican border by next week. Attorney General William Barr says he plans to make public in the middle of April the redacted version of the Russia probe results. This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739. Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and auto pay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLetsDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLetsDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny because they haven't chosen to take the first step towards the life they've always dreamed of. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Start small or dream big. Work part-time or full-time. You choose the pace. Just visit startlivingyoung.com. That's startlivingyoung.com. And click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health products company that spent 5 years on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in America list. With over $1 billion a year in sales, they'll provide all the tools you need to thrive and succeed. And you'll be blown away by how little it takes to get started. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab at the top of the page. 2019 will be the year your new life begins. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So you're in the belly of the beast there then, working for the military. What kind of work do you do? What do you do in your working life?
I'm in the IT cybersecurity type of world. So I work with all the information systems that are in Army Material Command, and I work with the different commands to be able to make sure that we're, you know, protected from external threats or even internal threats. So I look at that and I basically get involved heavily in all of their IT systems, and that's where I'm at.
Oh, that's really interesting just in and of itself.
Yeah, it's fascinating work. I mean, you start to realize just how data, you suddenly realize all of the things, like, you know, my God, my Alexa is going to be used against me, and how that would work. And you suddenly realize that, you know, as we keep adding IT chips to various devices, well, the same thing's happening in the Army world. I mean, suddenly we have a lathe that's now talking to some sort of remote terminal. Well, that's
right.
You know,
well, I mean, if you listen to Snowden talk, I mean, it's some pretty amazing stuff there. And he was one of the guys on the inside. And then not just recently, too, we had Gary McKinnon, I think, came back out of the woodwork and did an interview with one of the people up here, I think. So
I laugh at some of those things that are out there, because ultimately for me, it's a situation where if somebody hacked into my computer, my government computer, and found what I had stored on it, in the way of UFO materials, they would basically think in general that the Army is definitely investigating UFOs and has all kinds of wild stuff, and let me show you the data. Okay?
That is absolutely hilarious. That is really funny when you think about it in this context. Wow, what a great point. I hadn't really heard you talk about that on your other interview that I was listening to.
People think that the military staff and the people are not interested in UFOs, and many of them are. I mean, they have an interest in it. They just don't maybe like want to talk about it a whole lot, and they don't know who to talk to. So that it's best just to keep it quiet. But a lot of them have their own personal information on their computers about UFOs, and they could have every kind of like, you know, they could have like the Navy's got spacecraft on it and somebody hacks into it. The next thing you know is, oh my God, look at this. The Army's doing this and that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's essentially where the UFO projects were for the Air Force, is right where you're working. I mean, that's where Ruppelt was, and he's the guy who created the term UFO, essentially. Then the Air Force went on to go through a number of iterations for its own internal use, like Air Force Regulation 202, for example. Mm-hmm. Now, are they still using that regulation within the Air Force as a definition for UFOs?
My point is I work in the Army, so I'm not necessarily going and looking at the Navy stuff. I'm not looking at the Air Force stuff. So whether they are or aren't, or whether they've updated, because policies go through all kinds of changes. I mean, we're constantly changing and revising policy. So I don't know that, and I can't speak for the Air Force. I can only speak for what I'm at with the Army.
Does the Army have any special name for UFOs, or do you just say UFOs? Or do they call them, you know, angels or some kind of code?
No. I've done my own kind of like looking around and poking, you know, and stuff like that. Bottom line is that I don't even see discussions about the subject. Occasionally, if I do run across something, it's because somebody's got an article that they're commenting about. But there's just relatively no interest and nothing that I can find at all on classified and unclassified systems. So, I mean, if you think that the Army is spending a lot of time with it, they aren't. And that's properly the where it's supposed to be anyway, because it's the Army's. I did find once where somebody was referring to a case on a military installation, but that was about it. That was, I think, at Fort Rucker.
Interesting. Yeah.
But there's really not anything there.
From the history books, we can go back and, you know, say, well, this sighting was at this base and this one was at that base and so on. But more recently, this Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program thing, that was something that was with the Navy more? Or exactly where was that about? Like you guys were looking into that and doing some analysis of the footage and stuff. So can you tell us a bit more what you've found from that?
They weren't under the Navy. They were working for Defense Intelligence Agency. So Defense Intelligence Agency was the head of that particular program. It was called OSAP, and then it moved into being ATIP, and then that's when Lou Elizondo got on board. But that came about, you know, and it was like highly kept quiet, obviously to the point where a lot of people didn't even know about it, even in the government world. And so it was well hidden and doing its studies. And so the thing about it is the vernacular of using the word threat is primarily where it's supposed to be in terms of calling them potential threats. And we look at them from the standpoint that are they objects that we don't know? Yes. Do we know that the other governments are also looking into them? Yes. Who wins if they get the answers? Well, that's a good question. Is there a chance that are they a threat to us? Have they shown hostility or anything of that nature? And in the context of the military, just having airline safety is a threat. And so, you know, you have to look at the fact that if you've got objects that seemingly are all around us in water and in the air and in space, then potentially we need to look at those as threats and to look at them that way and to learn about how they maneuver and how they operate and anything we can do to be able to determine that from the data. And so primarily that's what ATIP was about. It was about getting and collecting military cases, which, by the way, Project Blue Book maybe did, but they scrolled it off to their and they kept it out of the public view. And they would, they basically do the same kind of thing where they'll reach out to their various labs and have labs of scientists get engaged, like, you know, the people at Foreign Technology Division that they would leverage for Project Blue Book. Well, the same thing ATIP would do here for using the various labs that we have, like, to do some sort of an analysis or even get a contract. In this case, it was with Bigelow. So the bottom line is that, you know, that the DOD has a lot of that resources that they can go to with legitimate scientific work. And they've got contractors that will go out and do the work and provide them the answers that they need. So that's pretty much what happens there. That would be the same way we would do it in the Army.
Okay, so this case, mainly the one that came into our attention, that Elizondo brought to our attention, that was mainly, and maybe this is why I was presuming it was connected with the Navy, is because it came out of the carrier group there with the Nimitz, and we've got the Navy pilots like David Fravor talking about their experience with that. So have you guys had a chance to look at those videos and make any sense of them and or confirm or debunk them in any way? Or what do you think's going on with that?
Okay, so the situation, according to the way it's been told, is that these things have been looked already at and analyzed within ATIP. And so they probably, like I just got through saying, that ATIP would have gone out to the different services, and the smart people in the different services, because they don't report to the Navy, but they can get, they're probably getting Navy cases, Air Force cases, Marine cases, and any other kind of case, you know, from the different services, because that's, they're up above that. They're the Defense Intelligence Agency.
Right, yeah. So there could be all kinds of cases we don't know about, and this is only the tip of the iceberg.
And I think that what they were able to do was to have all of the instances where they've captured data handed to them, and then they would have had them investigated and analyzed. And the data would have been looked at. I believe that that's pretty much what they did. And so they've done a significant amount of analysis, but we just don't get it shared with us. Anyway,
we got to do our break. Right in the middle of this discussion, more to come with Rich, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Before you go on continuing that, Rich, any of your military bosses ever come to you and say, hey, Rich, what's this all about?
The answer is yes. I mean, I've had a lot of people that, again, have an interest in it, and they want to get smart, much like the same thing in the outside of the base. You know, I mean, they're curious. They want to know more. They want to try to understand whether it's real or what can you tell me about it? Can you share anything? And so, yeah, I mean, you get that kind of interest about it, but that's their job is not necessarily to do that kind of work. And so they're just more curious about it. So, but yeah, that there's a lot of interest, and many of them attended the conference here. And then many of them also come to my monthly meetings that I have here in Alabama.
Speaking of meetings, you guys just had your first AAPC, Anomalous Aerospace Phenomena conference, I believe not too long ago, right?
The Scientific Coalition for Ufology is the group that we have, and we're basically all like either scientists or serious researchers that have been out there for a long time. You know, I know that if you're up in Canada, you know probably Chris Rutkowski.
We've had him on the show several times. Good guy.
Paul Kingsbury is a part of us, and I know you know him. And Kevin Randall's on board with us. And so we have a lot of researchers, but we also have a lot of academia and scientists and the people who want to treat this subject very seriously. And we have about 12 PhDs on the group. And so I had made a comment that I would love to be able to have a conference here just outside the gates of the Redstone Arsenal, where I work over on the Army Material Command. I don't know if you know about Redstone, but it's the home of the defense, our missile defense agency, as well as all of the space and rocketry stuff. This is where Von Braun, actually built the Redstone rockets and stuff like that and tested them. So we have the Marshall Space Flight Center also on that base. We have even also the FBI that's moving here from Quantico, Virginia. So we'll have the headquarters for the FBI here. It would be a great place to have this conversation. And so I intentionally set it just outside the gates, and I tried to be able to get as many people as I could. However, guess what happened? they had the government shut down, and for weeks people weren't getting paid. And it coincided with the time, so it kind of like damaged me getting from a lot of that, the base personnel that I was trying to get, who suddenly couldn't afford even the fact that I had made the conference rate so low that they still couldn't do it. And so it was just ill-timed. But nevertheless, we decided.
Well, we can blame Trump for that, I suppose. I mean,
yeah. You know,
for those of us who like to blame Trump, we can just add that one to the list.
Yeah, that one went just hurt us big time. And, you know, we're already challenged. But anyway, the bottom line was I was able to get the minimum amount of people. I think I had 116 people. I needed 100 people to even break minimum. So we ended up doing that. And then we got a great batch of scientists, PhDs, to come present all different kinds of interesting topics, everything from interstellar travel to propulsion systems to alien invasion by Travis Taylor. He came and talked. He's got like 2 PhDs and 3 master's degrees, and so he's heavily educated, and he gave a talk on that. We looked at satellite use of satellites from the in Europe. A gentleman, Philippe Alaris, came over and spoke about the what they have, the Earth Observation Program. It's a Sentinel-2, and it's part of a Copernicus project. And it would allow us to be able to do satellite use of UFO investigations. So he talked about that. We had then Lou Elizondo came and talked, and we had Hal Putoff join him. And if you know anything about those two gentlemen, they're not going to get us something that's not scientific. So the fact that they came here, I was extremely pleased with. But we had a great conversation, great presentations, and now everybody said, you know, well, we need to do this again. So I'm considering doing it again and talking with my colleagues on the board to see if we want to do it here, we want to do it somewhere else. What do we want to do? That's where we're at right now.
Well, that sounds fabulous. Did you manage to get some video of the event at all so that you could maybe, I mean, there's an idea. If you didn't get a lot of audience live, maybe you can attract some audience via some video.
We did video record it, and we're in the process of now putting those up. What we had to do is to work through getting approvals from people about what the content was and did they want to put like certain things up. And so we're working with them. And unfortunately, we had a situation where like when Lou was doing a question answer period that apparently, according to him, he gave some personal information that he didn't want. So we're trying to figure out a way we can get the question and answers maybe put into some sort of text or something like that to allow that. We're not going to show that on video just out of his concerns for privacy.
So. Would you be planning on releasing these on your site as a public service, or would you be thinking of, say, charging some sort of a price for it?
It's too early for me to know that. We're going to have a board meeting talking about that on Monday to decide, well, what do we want to do? I mean, we've been very transparent. If you take a look at the cases we've done, the reports are completely available online. We just finalized our Nimitz review, the Nimitz case analysis, and you were asking me earlier about that. We did spend about a year and a half or so on that, I think maybe even 2 years, of putting together that report, and it's about 270 pages long. And we've looked at the physics involved of an object that descends from 80,000 feet to stop immediately in 0.78 seconds at sea level. And what would be the physics involved in that? And is it possible to do it within the context of the laws of physics as we know them? And the answer is no.
I was looking at that, and it was, and that's why, precisely why I was sort of asking you about it. You know, you could summarize some of that stuff, and of course, I guess the missing link in the algorithm or the formula there would be to know what the mass of the object is. And unless we know the mass, we can't really determine anything else with any accuracy. So, you know, if these objects have a way of reducing their mass, well, in some way, shape, or form, or they're super, super lightweight materials, well, maybe they could do it, you know. They do it somehow. We just don't know how, right?
We do know from cases that there are certain instances of landings where they leave depressions in the soil, that they've actually compressed the soil. So, I mean, you get an idea of that. And if you look even in there's a French case where I think an object was actually had one of its pods land on a railroad track, and the railroad track was actually indented from the weight of the object. So, you know, you can.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, much like what we try to do is we try to look at, are there other cases that have given us information which we can use as a reference point? When we did our study of Aguadilla, the Puerto Rico Homeland Security case, and we wrote that report, that's about a 162-page report that's on our site.
Right.
That one, you know, you get to the point where in thermal, how do you determine temperature? Well, of an object that's a gray color.
Yeah. And relative to the background in some respects.
So we broke it down into everything from 0 to 255 values of grays, if you would.
Yeah.
Then we determined from looking at the temperature of the cows that were out in the field, and we did some studies to find out what cow temperatures are, that we were able to determine that that particular color of the cows in the field matched where the object was.
So interesting.
So, I mean, this is where science comes in and can dissect these kinds of data points and give us a little bit more information. And
well, that's fabulous. That's using critical thinking and applying scientific principles to extrapolate out something that can get us closer to saying, well, yeah, we're dealing with something here that is measurable to some extent. We don't necessarily know what it is yet, but there you go. We've got some really good thinking going on there. And I absolutely love the way that you're approaching ufology from a scientific perspective and a critical thinking perspective, even when you don't necessarily have, say, you know, a piece of metal or an actual craft to work with. You're still not going off the deep end and saying, oh, you know, it's Zeno from Zeta Reticuli, and they're here in their multidimensional spaceship.
Someone has something to teach you right now. Not from Zeta Reticuli. A little bit closer to home. Randall, Gene, and Rich, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.